We're going to read out of the Proverbs chapter number 10. We're going to read a few verses. We're going to start with verse number 5, Proverbs chapter number 10. Then we're going to review a little bit of what we learned last week and the changes now that are in the book of Proverbs, and then we'll go forward, all right? He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh uprightly surely. I'm sorry, let me read verse 9 again. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Huh, we just read that in verse 8, didn't we? So God's making a statement twice. So he's telling us some things that are very important that we ought to learn. Because when somebody repeats themselves, they're telling us how important it is. Not that anything else is unimportant. There's just something really important in that statement. So as we're going to stop reading there, we're going to pray, and we'll review. Father, thank you now for tonight. Thank you for this time that we could look at your word. Holy Spirit, meet with us. Teach us the truth that we need. Help us to apply to our individual lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at a few things tonight as we begin. There's some words we learned in the beginning of the book of Proverbs that were very important in the introduction. I'm not going to go through all 10 of them, but I am going to give a couple definitions, as I do almost every week. The word wisdom. When we think of the word wisdom, we think about somebody who's a wise person. But we've learned a couple things. We've learned that more than one kind of wisdom. We know that there's the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. What is that? Well, wisdom is to look at life from God's point of view. To look at ourselves as God looks at us. And then to look at others as God would have us to look at other people. The ways of the world are the opposite ways of God's ways. We learn from a very moment of birth the ways of the world. It's our nature. And our nature doesn't match God's ways. God says in His Word, His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not His ways. So we have to learn something different. It's part of everything we learn in the world. From the moment we're born, from the very moment we start to develop a personality, we start to develop thoughts and directions, we begin to look at life and how we can benefit from that life, how we can get something out of that life. And we forget that God wants us to look at Him, realizing He is the value of our life. He's the one that gives us eternal life. He's the one that's taken care of us, blessed us, strengthened us, guided us, and has given us eternity. And He wants us to think different. He wants us to think different of ourselves. Here's how we think of ourselves. Sometimes we think of ourselves as being pretty worthless. Sometimes we think of ourselves as not being very wise or very smart. Sometimes we think of ourselves in a very heartfelt way, incorrectly. We lose the value of what God has for us. God loves us. God made us individually. God made us to be like we are on purpose. God gave us the personality He gave us on purpose. And God placed us where He placed us in life and at time of this world on purpose. For He wants us to do a work for Him. And so He's put us here for a reason. He's also put us here for a purpose. But most importantly, God loves us. He loves us just like we are. We don't have to change one thing for God to love us. For He loves us in our sinful condition. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because He loves us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants us to become more like Him as we get to know Him better. And so wisdom is learning to look at life the way that God looks at life. Learning to look at ourselves as God looks at us. And learning to look at others through the perspective that God looks at others, which is through kindness and love and compassion and understanding. It's hard to do, but it is what He wants. None of us are experts at it. None of us are little spurts at it. All of us struggle to meet all three of those, to look at ourselves, look at the life from God's perspective, look at ourselves as God looks at us, and look at others as God wants us to look at them, and to treat them, and to speak to them, and provide for them as God wants us to. It's difficult for us, but it doesn't mean that we can't accomplish it. It doesn't mean we can't strive for it. It doesn't mean we can't grow that way. Then another important word that we see over and over again, and we'll continue to see this, is the word understanding. That means to apply the view of God. What's the view of God? Wisdom. So we need to apply it. And that means not just to apply it, but comprehend it, to understand it, and then to accept it. We can comprehend it, we can know it, but then not accept it. That's easy to do. So God wants us to know it, to comprehend it, to accept it, and then to live by it. And that's what accepting is, living by it. Then we learn another word, and I want to look at that tonight. And that is knowledge, the word knowledge. That means awareness gained through experience. That's awareness that we gain through the application of wisdom in our life. When we start to understand wisdom, we start to apply it, we accept it, we start to live by it, we gain experience. As we gain experience, that is knowledge. That means to put it to work as God intended for us to put it to work. So it's important that we understand those words. There's more words. There's 10 words altogether. But as we look in the book of Proverbs, those three words jump out at us over and over and over again. And it's important for us to understand, if we're going to understand the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, then we have to understand what those words mean so that we can apply it to our life. So, now remember, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the world's wisdom, and then there's God's wisdom. And to be wise in the world is not the same as being wise with God. In fact, the wisdom of the world is the opposite of God's wisdom. The world says, get it for me. God tells us to live for others. So the wisdom of God is the opposite, in most cases, of the wisdom of the world. So somebody that's wise in the world doesn't make them wise with God. So when we say with the word a wise man in Scripture, remember that wise man doesn't mean somebody who has worldly knowledge. That means someone who is living, understanding, accepting God's point of view, applying it to their life, and growing thereby. That's the person who has wisdom. So when we see those words, that's what's important for us to understand. We learned in the first 9 chapters, the first beginning chapter was the introduction to the book itself. Then from verse 7 all the way through to the end of chapter number 9, we see instruction that God gives us on applying this, how to apply it, why to apply it, what these things are. He gives us a good introduction to that. And then in chapter 10, we learned last week that there's a twist now. For the rest of the book of the Proverbs, we have antithetical statements given. Antithetical statements are direct contrasting opinions in one statement. All right, they're direct opposite. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs now, they're going to be pretty much one-liner statements. And the reason that they're one-liner statements is because there's a positive or one side, and then there's the other side. And it's showing a contrast of what happens with the wisdom of the world and what happens when we follow God's wisdom. What the results are for that. So what we look for now are keywords. Alright, we talked a little bit about last week about what a parenthetical statement would be, antithetical statement would be, and that's where every statement in the first half of the first part of a sentence is the opposite in the second part of the sentence. We took two words. We looked at the word hope last week, and the word hope, and the opposite of the contrast to the word hope was the word despair. Okay? So the opposite of hope is despair. So antithetical words here are hope and despair. So if you said, I have hope, the wise man hopeth in the Lord. But a fool, or a person that follows the wisdom of the world, but a fool liveth in despair. There's no proverb that says what I just said. I just made it up. You see the two contrasting statements with hope and despair, because the opposite of hope is to have despair. Okay? Unknown. That's why it's so important to know Christ. I'm not going to get into it. I learned a lot, saw a lot of that this last few days of hope and versus despair, of contrasting religions out there. But my hope is in Jesus Christ, and I know that the moment I step off this world, I'm stepping into heaven. Everything's done. It's finished. It's complete. I'm in heaven with my Savior. I don't have to hope so. I don't have to wish so. I don't have to have somebody pray for me. I'm there. And that can't change. The opposite of that is being unsure or despair. And maybe they can have some hope. But I don't have to worry about hoping to have some hope. I have my hope is in Christ Jesus. Your hope is in Christ Jesus. So that's what we're looking at then. Starting with chapter 10. We looked at a couple of the verses. And remember it says in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So he's giving us these contrasting statements, these antithetical statements, so that we can learn God's view, world's view. God's view, world's view. God's view, world's view. Now, as many times as I've read the book of Proverbs in my life, and it's been a whole bunch, I still have a difficult time applying God's view versus the world's view, because the world is so embedded in my flesh. And I'm sure you're just like me. And so we have to be able to take the chapter 10 and so on through the rest of the book and look at the antithetical statements and allow God to start teaching us from them. So we're going to start with verse 5. We stopped, I believe, with verse 4 last week. So let's take a look at verse 5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." What are the antithetical statements that we can see here? Well, first thing I see is gathering and sleeping. One's busy, one's sleeping, opposite of each other. One's harvest and one's summer, opposite of each other. One's a growing time, one's a reaping time. One is wise, one causes shame. So we see opposite statements here. So as we look at verse 5, what can we learn from this? "He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." The first thing I would see here is that we need to work all the time. There's always something to do. Springtime, summertime, fall, harvest, and wintertime, there's always something to do. So we need to always be busy about something. There's always a work for the Lord that needs to go on. But when we don't do that and we become lazy and sleep through the work that he tells us to do, then we cause shame to him. So you can apply this in many different ways. I'm sure you can see that now. How you can apply this in many different ways because of the parenthetical statements that are given here. So the first thing then I see is that there's a job for every season that needs to be done in every season. So all the time we need to be doing something. But we also want to notice here that the wisdom versus someone that is lazy. God says we're supposed to be busy. But the world says take your leisure, take your time, relax, just have a good time. Party now because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Okay? No, God has a reason for us. And we need to be working in His, reading His Word, praying, memorizing His Word, applying what we learn in the book of Proverbs to our life. So there's a lot of things to be done. So we can take those two contrasting statements there and we can learn a lot of things. Okay, one, life brings wisdom. The one that works is a wise son. We're following what God's told us to do. The other one brings shame and reproach. Shame brings heartbreak. Shame brings remorse. I've been filled with heartbreak in my lifetime. So have you. And remorse in my lifetime of things I've done I shouldn't have done. Things I've said I shouldn't have said. Places I've gone I shouldn't have gone. Things that the way I behaved I shouldn't behave. All of us are guilty of that. Why? Because that's our nature. So we're trying to take and go against our world's nature, our fleshly nature, and grasp God's nature. And to grasp that means to be busy. So you've heard the statement, idle hands are the devil's workshop? Well, that's not in the Bible. Okay? But that's where it comes from. It comes from this statement here that we see in verse number 5. Verse number 6. "Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The just means right doers. The word just means those, the doers of right. Those that are doing right. What is that? Someone who's following God's wisdom, God's perspective, God's view. Alright? So, the just. Blessings are upon the head of the just. Those that are doing right. The doers of right. Alright? The blessings of God. So, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. What's the wicked? Listen, you can be saved and still be wicked. So it's not a matter of saved and unsaved. As we go through these things, oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, we look at the blessed versus the wicked, meaning saved and unsaved, but that's not it. You can be saved and be as wicked as the devil. Amen? But that's not the way we're supposed to be. So God's telling us that we have a choice to make here. We see a choice very plainly then in verse number 6. The choice is that we can do right, live right, be doers of right, and that God will bless us. But violence is the result of the wicked mouth. So we just really have some things to learn that we can apply then here. So here's another simple application. That's what we're going to get from the rest of the book of Proverbs. Simple applications. Much of them are just one verses. Verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Let's just use an illustration here. If I said Abraham Lincoln, what do you think of? Do you think of a just man? Think of a good man? Do you think of a man who tried to do the right thing? If I said Hitler, what do you think of?
Bad dudes.
Yeah. So, see, the thing is that it affects us. Our reputation lives after we're gone. So you'd say that's a rotten name. People don't name their children Adolf Hitler. Okay? It's not a name that you're going to... Oh, I want to call my son Adolf Hitler Smith. You don't find that. But you find people naming people Abraham after Lincoln all the time. There's a justness there. There's a rightness there. And so, it's a matter of choice. Again, both men made choices. We have to make a choice to live righteously and justly, or to live according to the flesh. Both men were men of power. True? Both men were leaders of nations. True? Both men had some form of character, else they wouldn't have got where they've got to. So they had character. But they didn't go down the same path. So it's important then that we understand that the power with God is not in simply knowing or simply living. It's looking at God, life from God's point of view, accepting it, and then applying it to our life. Alright? Verse number 7. Verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, I think I've given you the word prating before, but I'll give it to you again. It means double tongue. Or one that speaks out of both sides of their mouth. You ever met somebody like that? I know I've been somebody like that from time to time. We all are that way. Okay? We can be a prating fool. Speak right about somebody who's standing there, but when they're not standing there, not speak good of them. Alright? That's what a prating fool does. Alright? So, the wise in heart will receive commandments. So we're looking now at somebody who's receiving something. What are they doing? They're receiving commandments. Where do the commandments come from? Well, sometimes they can come from another person. They come from God as well. But what is he? He's a wise in heart. He's wise in the things of this world? No, he's wise in the Word of God. How does he become wise? Because he's looking at life from God's view. He's looking at himself from God's view. I can't tell you how important it is that we remember to look at ourselves as God looks at us, not how we look at us, not how other people look at us, not what other people's opinions are of us. It's important for us to remember what God, how He loves me. I cannot tell you how important that is. How important it is to know that no matter what happens in your life, God loves you. God will never, ever, ever, ever stop loving you. So many times in my lifetime I've seen that footprints in the sand thing. My favorite part of it is I don't necessarily like the poem or anything. It's just I love the idea that there's only one set of footprints. That's when the Lord's carrying me, not because He left me. And so often we think we have to prove ourselves to God and prove ourselves to God and prove ourselves to God and prove ourselves to God. There's nothing to prove. He loves you. So what are you going to prove? He already loves you. You're already special. You're already important. He just wants to spend more time with you. I understand that. I love spending time with my loved ones. I've had a joy for almost 7 straight days. I've had my grandson Lucas with me. I've got to spend time with Lucas. Lucas got to spend time with me. We've goofed around. We've played. We've run around. We've taken naps together. My favorite time. Taken naps together. We've eaten together. We've shared sandwiches together. We've shared pieces of cookie together. We've shared pieces of cheese together. We've shared drinks together. Well, you know what we've done? We just spend with each other, and it's been wonderful fun. And he gets mad when he can't have Grandpa hold him and play with him. Why? Because he's enjoyed Grandpa and Grandpa's enjoyed him. And that's what God wants from you and me. He has nothing to prove to me. There's nothing he can prove to me. He's 1.5 years old. It's just a thrill to be with him. And that's how God feels every time you go to him. He feels that same thrill that I feel when my grandchildren are with me and my children are with me. Lance came later in the week. And Lance has got a miracle. I call it a wonderful, wonderful smile. He's always so happy, except when he's cranky. And he smiles so wonderfully. And you look at him and you say, "Hi, Lance, how you doing?" And he'll look around for Grandpa and he'll give Grandpa this big old grin. And I melt. Now he doesn't know. What can he prove to me? I'm going to love him. I'm just going to love him. I'm just going to love him. And that's how God thinks of you and me. And it's so very important that we constantly remember how God thinks of us. Because that takes pressure off of you. That takes pressure off of me. That causes us to become relaxed in God and enjoy fellowshipping with him. So, a wise in heart receiveth commandments. So it's easy for him to tell me something, or easy for me to comprehend what somebody else is telling me, because I'm just walking with him and spending time with him. It's been enjoyable having Lucas, because Luke, you can tell him something, and he's learning all sorts of new words this week and saying them immediately and putting them into sentences, and I'm just absolutely marvel at how quickly he does that. It's been fun. You know what? He's receiving commandments. He's receiving information. That doesn't mean he always obeys. It means he's receiving. Isn't that how we are? This is exactly how we are. And so it's important then that we remember how God looks at us. How God looks at how we look, how he thinks. And how we're to look at other people. Because all of us are guilty of the other side. And what is the other side? Being a prating fool, double-tongued, they'll fall. Notice it says that in verse 10 and we're done, okay? We're going to skip verse 9 for right the moment, but it's repeated in verse number 10. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. There's another communication there. One is receiving information, the other one is giving information. And when we are winking, we're trying to tell somebody, "Hey, this is not exactly what I mean." So we're twisting it. We're trying to pervert it to make it be what we want it to be. And it's a reminder by God that a prating fool, that's called double-tongued, causes us to fall. And that's how heartbreaks come. That's how heartaches come. So it's better just to be right with God, walk with God, spend time with God. And by the way, that's what it means to be right with God. Okay? We've heard that all of our life. Be right with God. How do you get right with God? Spend time with Him. Read His Word. Pray. Memorize His Word. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. I don't understand everything my grandchildren say. I'm old. I wear hearing aids. I don't hear everything my grandchildren say. Even if I didn't have hearing aids and I could hear, I still wouldn't understand all the things my grandchildren say. But can I tell you what? It doesn't matter. I just want to be with them. And they just want to be with me. We don't have to understand everything as a Christian that God says. All we have to do is spend time with Him. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to help.